the University of Mississippi, the one and only one, the flagship university.
Now time for another edition of the Rebel Wives Live Podcast, presented by Rebels 247 of the 24/7 Sports Network. Complete coverage of Ole Miss athletics and recruiting news from the Rebels 247 staff, David Johnson, Michael Court, and Dave Bevin. Rebel Wives Live is also available free in the iTunes store. Now, here's your host, David Johnson.
But Ole Miss has a pretty good baseball team this year. 20-2 overall, ranked number 6 in the nation. And today, Baseball America releases its weekly projected field of 64. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Rebel Rise Live podcast. I'm David Johnson, along with Michael Quirk and Dave Bevin. Ole Miss in the field of 64 projected by Baseball America today. And look, it's early. We all know it's early. But these things are out there for discussion, and that's what we'll do with them. The Rebels projected as a number 7 seed overall, which means they're projected to be at home for both a regional and a super regional if they can keep this torrid pace up. 10 SEC teams projected in to the field of 64 by Baseball America. That's no surprise. That's the most by any conference in America. And that's probably why it's way too early to be talking about this, because the SEC is the best baseball conference in the country, bar none. And the Rebels are just now dipping their wick, so to speak, into SEC play, taking 2 out of 3 in Knoxville from the Tennessee Volunteers last weekend. But Michael Quirk, I hear there's a baseball series in Oxford beginning Thursday night that might pique the interest of Ole Miss fans just a little bit.
Yeah, there's going to be just a tiny series going on against number 13, 20-2 South Carolina Gamecocks, who are coming in red hot after a sweep of ranked Arkansas, and South Carolina's built themselves a heck of a baseball program. I coach baseball in South Carolina, and it's pretty much every kid over there. Their dream coming up is to play in Columbia, and they got a lot of good players coming to town. And right now, the two teams sit at number 4 and number 5. South Carolina's number 4, Ole Miss number 5 in the RPI. And so this is going to be a big series. If Ole Miss is able to take 2 or 3 from the Gamecocks, that'll be a big RPI boost for them. It'll be just another thing to put on their resume toward the end of the year when they are trying to lock up a regional site or maybe even a national seed.
Interestingly enough, all 3 of the big 3 Mississippi schools projected into the field of 64 by Baseball America, both Ole Miss and Mississippi State projected to host NCAA regional action in this Baseball America way too early projected field of 64. As a matter of fact, they have the Golden Eagles slotted to come to Oxford. That would be that'd be interesting right there, along with the Cal Bears and Alabama State. That would be the and we're fantasizing right now, let's be honest, but that would be the 4-team regional field in Oxford. And, of course, if the Rebels advanced out of there, being ranked as a number 7 national seed, that would mean a super regional would be on the way to O-Town. And O-Town is not quite the same when there's super regional baseball action going on here in the early summer. And what a sight to behold that would be. The South Carolina Ole Miss series being starting on a Thursday night this week due to the Easter holiday on Sunday. So a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series, not the usual Friday, Saturday, Sunday action at Swayze Field. And Dave Bevin, I would imagine going to be a packed house, and might be raining beer out there beyond the right field wall.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be Ole Miss's biggest series in Oxford since that Louisville series where Ole Miss took a 2-1 victory over the Cardinals early on in the season. And you know, as Michael mentioned, you know, South Carolina come in number 13, red hot, you know, knocking off Arkansas, a ranked Arkansas team in that series last week. So, you know, and Ole Miss is, of course, coming in with momentum. And, you know, the team right now, I mean, it's obvious they just need to keep their composure. And as Baseball America has pointed out, you know, if they keep projecting the way that they're going to do, you know, Oxford is going to be hosting a regional for the first time, I believe, since 2009. So it's been nearly a full decade since Ole Miss has hosted a super regional. And I know all the fans, you know, that is something that holds dear to them in the sport of baseball. So it would be very exciting for, you know, the Ole Miss community. And I can only imagine, David, Swayze is definitely going to be packed this weekend.
Yeah, whenever Swayze's packed or the vault's packed, that means Kroger's packed. And it means you better plan for an extra hour when you go to the grocery store. Everybody goes to Kroger before they go to anything. Before they go to football games on Friday afternoon, you literally cannot get through the door. Anytime there's a big weekend series, I mean, I guess you're buying beer, you're buying sausage, you're buying buns, whatever you're buying there at Kroger. It's almost like an ice storm whenever that happens. So that's the stage. I want to remind everyone, all of the action, you can follow it all on Rebels 247 over the weekend, as Michael Quirk will have a front row seat to all of the action. And Michael, also, they can follow you on Twitter as well. Tell them your Twitter handle in which they can follow you. Michael does some great play-by-play action on Twitter.
It's at Quirk Rebels 247. And, yeah, I'm there at all the home games. If you want to get some live tweeting action, I'm your guy over there.
And tweet back with Michael. He'd love to get into it with you via Twitter. A nice little Twitter fight in between innings at Swayze would probably make your weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love any and all confrontations, especially the digital kind.
There you go. Digital confrontation. That is that's a newly coined phrase right there, I do believe. But that's that's what's going on at Swayze this weekend. Will they break the Powder Blues out on a Saturday since it's the last game of the series, Michael? I mean, I know they kind of use them as their Sunday blues, so to speak, but you think they'll wear those Powder Blues any this weekend against the Gamecocks?
Oh, yeah. I have to imagine they will. Coach Bianco really likes those uniforms, and as you know, college athletes, they love any time they can mix it up, and so they're going to be wearing those. I would suspect that they might wear those every Sunday throughout the year. Well, this week it'd be on a Saturday, of course. And with the pastel in that in that powder blue, I think they have to do that around Easter. That's perfect Easter attire right there.
Yeah, it does kind of look like an Easter egg colored theme there with the light blue and or let me be correct here, the powder blue and the red. And I've started to like those hats. I didn't know if I liked the hats at the beginning of the season, but I've come around to liking them. And 20-2 probably has helped me with that, to be honest with you. Such a fantastic start. First time ever in the history of Ole Miss baseball, the Rebels have had a record of 20-2. So there's your fact for the day. 20-2 has never been done before with Ole Miss baseball until this year. All right, let's switch gears now and talk a little football recruiting. The state of Mississippi's top prospect in the 2017 class is Clinton High School running back Cam Akers, and he's going to be in Knoxville this weekend, going up there to play in a 7-on-7 tournament. But while he's in town, I'm going to swing by and see Butch Jones and see how the bricks in the wall are going in Jones's building project up in Tennessee. But when you talk about Cam Akers, Dave, the vibe has been for quite some time now that Cam Akers is going to eventually end up as an Ole Miss Rebel. Now, the confidence level on that amongst those in the know around the holidays was really, really high. It may have waned a little bit in that Akers is a national recruit. I mean, he has offers from Alabama. Of course, he's a one-time Alabama commit. He committed from the Crimson Tide, but Ohio State's in it for him. Florida State's recruiting him. The Miami Hurricanes, Michigan, both your in-state schools, Ole Miss and Mississippi State. But if you look at his crystal ball, it kind of reflects the vibe around Cam Akers is that most people feel like he'll end up in Oxford for whatever reason. The Rebels lead the crystal ball tally at 55%, followed by Georgia at 18%. 9% of the voters say they just don't know. 9% say Mississippi State, and then 9% say Tennessee. I don't know why the 9% would say Tennessee, even though he is going to visit there this coming weekend. I just don't feel Cam Akers to Tennessee at all. I think it's an Ole Miss, Alabama, Mississippi State battle. That's how I feel like it's going to go down for Cam Akers. And I do think the Rebels are in a very, very good position for him. Of course, Cam visited Ole Miss back on February 6th of this year, and he came with C.J. Avery, the four-star safety out of Grenada, Mississippi, and they kind of packaged that. But, Dave, Cam Akers visiting Tennessee this weekend, and look, I think it's a happenstance trip. He's going up there to play in a 7-on-7 tournament. Why not visit a school that's offered you a scholarship? You got any concerns about that?
Yeah, I mean, Cam's recruitment has definitely surged over the past year, and I think really the high crystal ball predictions on Ole Miss is really, in my opinion, is Ole Miss has been recruiting him for a very, very long time, and so had Alabama, who he was once committed, and like you said, he, you know, back during late Christmas time, there was, you know, that word out there that you know, there was a heavy favorite in the air of you know, him possibly decommitting from Alabama. He ended up doing that not long after visiting Georgia on an unofficial visit. So if there's any intel of maybe the possibility of you know, the 9% on the crystal ball being the Tennessee, is, you know, that, you know, unofficial visits, visiting schools, you know, the thought process through it is you do get kind of a slight bump, you know, in someone's recruitment after, you know, whoever that may be, because you're impressing them that weekend that they're there visiting. So you know, with him visiting the Vols, that would be the only reason why I would think you know, there is that 9% crystal ball in there for Tennessee. So you know, I don't see him you know, pulling the trigger, you know, this weekend. So you know, he's going to go through this process because you know, a lot of schools are starting to see him and seeing his recruitment surge, and I think he's going to work the process for a little bit. That's my opinion.
Clinton High School running back Cam Akers, the nation's number 3 running back prospect. Urban Meyer's been to Clinton already this year to go by the school and quote-unquote check on him. So is Hugh Freeze. Definitely a national recruit, a guy that can afford to take it down to the wire. Sometimes if you're not one of those high four-star or five-star prospects, you better get it done early because school spots will fill up. Akers is the kind of guy that school is going to wait on him. Any school will wait on him. So he could very well take it all the way up to national signing day. Some guys like to get it out of the way before their senior season so they're not distracted by all of the recruiting noise. But we'll see what happens with Cam Akers. So yesterday, I'm taking a couple hours. I take a couple hours every week and kind of scour huddle and watch film on prospects. And I like to spend a portion of that time watching film for the first time on guys that maybe I've heard, hey, or somebody said, hey, you need to look at this guy and this guy. So I come across this last name that just pops right out at me, and I had a little memory of that last name, Freifogel. And I'm looking at this kid, I'm going, you know, Ole Miss had a guy, Trey Freifogel, that was one of Eli Manning's wide receivers many years ago. Wonder if there's any relation. So I click on the huddle film and I watch the kid. He's out of George County, Mississippi, 2017 wide receiver. And I'm like, man, this kid can play. He's 6'2", 197 pounds. Caught 50 passes last year for George County for 924 yards and 10 touchdowns. His name is Tyrese Freifogel. His father is former Ole Miss wide receiver Trey Freifogel. So that gets me going. I'm like, this kid can play. This kid is an Ole Miss legacy. Haven't really heard a whole lot about it. So I get in touch with him. We talk on the telephone, and he tells me that, in fact, Ole Miss is talking to him right now. Ole Miss wide receivers coach Grant Hurd recruiting Tyrese Freifogel. He has no offers yet, which kind of perplexed me a little bit looking at his film and why we haven't heard of Tyrese Freifogel up here in this neck of the woods earlier. So I get to talking to him, and what happened was he broke his arm a week before his sophomore season started, missed his entire sophomore campaign. So he goes out there last fall, has a big junior year, and now everybody's finally catching on and watching his film and trying to get him on campus. They want to take a, you know, they want to look at you. They want to look at you in person, you know, because a lot of these 6'3s and 6'5s and 280s or 210s are stretched when you're looking at a recruiting profile or something like that. High school coach has added an inch or given you 10 pounds or you've done that to yourself. So everybody wants to look at you first. And that's where he's at right now. He went down and visited Louisiana Lafayette last weekend. We'll be at South Carolina this weekend. And we'll attend Ole Miss's mini junior day on April the 2nd. April the 3rd, he'll be at Mississippi State. So he's getting out there and he's seeing everyone. I think this is a kid that could potentially blow up. And if you haven't watched his film, I posted a link to his film on the Rebel Rise on Monday. You can certainly go there and watch it. There's also a story that has just rolled off the front page on Tyrese Freifogel. And again, big physical receiver. His 40 time, and he ran this at a VTO combine, which is a pretty legit event. He was clocked at 4.50 in the 40. So,
wow.
Why is he intriguing? Well, he's 6'2" and 197 pounds, so he passes a smell test for the kind of big physical receiver Hugh Freeze likes. And if he's running a 4.50, legit, he can fly. He's an Ole Miss legacy whose father played with Eli Manning. And he told me yesterday, he said, if Ole Miss offers, they're probably my top choice because my dad has always been an Ole Miss fan. So that's one to watch down there in Loosedale, Mississippi, George County, Tyrese Freifogel. So, you know, Dave, you just don't – sometimes you don't know what you have until you got to kind of dig a little dirt and see what's under the surface there a little bit. Always in these recruiting classes, it can be the same happens every year. We think we know how everything stacks up with whatever class it is in February. Okay, we got the 16s to bed. This is what's out there in the 17 class. There are always kids that emerge during the spring evaluation period and the summer camp circuit.
Right, and, you know, I've seen some conversations on our board in a post earlier this week, about where's the talent in this 2017 class, and I think you made a good point, David. There's definitely a lot of talent that is starting to emerge, and maybe we haven't, you know, seen all of this talent, you know, emerge. Tyrese Freifogel is a perfect example. Recently, you know, we reported Tyler Williams out of Lafayette in Oxford.
Well,
let me interject
something on Tyler. You're exactly right. Listen, a month and a half ago, nobody was talking about Tyler Williams. Then Mississippi State offered. And Williams is a 2017 defensive back at Lafayette. Mississippi State offered, and then UAB offered. And since last week, Middle Tennessee State has offered, and the Memphis Tigers have offered. So he's up to four offers right there. He's a kid that really wasn't on anyone's radar at the turn of the calendar year. Go ahead, Dave.
Right, and you know, another one is that just comes right off the top of my head is Jordan Murphy out of Hattiesburg, Mississippi. This time last year, a lot of people didn't know who Jordan Murphy was. Now he's emerged, holds some in-state offers. Jarvis Russell is another promising prospect that's rising, and what is really neat, and I know David, you enjoy this as a passion And I got the chance, the opportunity to go to the Southern Elite Combine there in Lafayette last year. And I know what you love about it is each year getting those prospects there and find that talent that has, you know, not fully surfaced yet and finding those kids that have not gotten that spotlight yet and give them that spotlight. And that combine event's coming up in late June, David. Can you give us, you know, your insight on, you know, what to expect and with the 2016 Southern Elite Combine, which I plan on being there with you in Lafayette as well.
Yeah, and let me correct you real quick before the locals start chopping you up. Lafayette. Not Lafayette. Yeah, look, when
here
I first moved
Alabama,
over here.
Yeah, here in Alabama, you've got some towns that are spelled the same and pronounced differently. You kind of get used to the local phrases of how they word stuff here.
Yeah, it took me a little while to move past the Lafayette myself once I moved over here. And I still say Lafayette, but if you really want to say it in the local vernacular, it's Lafitte. Lafitte.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that Lafitte, but I haven't.
Inverness,
quite made
Mississippi.
It.
Inverness, Mississippi. There's a town here in Alabama spelled the same that way. It's Inverness. Inverness, Alabama, instead of Inverness.
There you go. Inverness, Mississippi, right outside of Indianola, of course, famous for a humongous tornado that wiped the town away and killed a whole bunch of people back in what I think was like 1973. Or something like that. One of the worst tornadoes in recorded history hit in Inverness, Mississippi. Another factoid for the day there, Michael Quirk. You're an intellect. I know you kind of like that.
I definitely do. I love anything and everything that we can touch on historically for this great state.
All right. Well, getting back to the Southern Elite Combine, the date is set, Dave, Wednesday, June 29th. We're moving it this year to the Lafayette Sportsplex, and it's an exciting, really state-of-the-art new facility here in Oxford for all kind of sports. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I think there are like 12 soccer fields there, one dedicated football field, artificial turf to run 40s on. So we're very excited about our new home for the Southern Elite this year at the Lafayette Oxford Sportsplex. There will be some of the top prospects in the South and from across the country there this year. We're just now organizing invitations. It is an invitation-only event. We do that so that there's not a talent discrepancy between the top-tier players and the bottom-tier players. We try to make it so that everyone there is a college football prospect. We do that through film review or qualifying combines, which we just held one out in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, a few weeks ago. The next one is on tap in Bethel, Tennessee, and then there's another one right behind it in Ruston, Louisiana. And the top performers from these combines are invited to come on to the grand finale in Oxford, Mississippi, which begins on Wednesday, June 29th. And, you know, we're proud of it. We started this event back in 2012, and we've had some phenomenal players come through there. Just even if you look at who our MVPs have been since that time, 2012, our MVP was a guy named Jalen Hurd, who is a running back, a very good running back for the Tennessee Volunteers right now. Cameron Sims, a wide receiver for the Alabama Crimson Tide, was once an MVP. Tito Windham, who signed with Oklahoma as a defensive back, was once an MVP. Last year's MVP, pretty good guy. A name you guys all know was quarterback Shea Patterson, who went on to win the Elite 11 and the U.S. Army All-American Game Most Valuable Player Award. So it is an awesome day of competition of some top-caliber football prospects. Just thinking about some of the former or current Ole Miss Rebels who have gone through there. C.J. Hampton has gone through the Southern Elite. Sean Rawlings has gone through the Southern Elite. Durante Bolden has gone through the Southern Elite. Trey Bledsoe has gone through the Southern Elite. Noah Missons, Shea Patterson's gone through the Southern Elite. Eli Johnson's gone through the Southern Elite. So tons of guys who are on SEC rosters right now have participated in it. And it is an all-day grueling work day. But I tell you, when you get into the one-on-ones and you're seeing top O linemen blocking top D linemen and top corners covering top wide receivers, and they're catching passes from the number one quarterback in America, it makes for an exciting time. It's open to the public. If you want to get a good look at these top players competing, it's an all-day event. Show up early. Be prepared to leave late, but you'll get a front row seat to see some of the greatest SEC talent of the future on any single day that you can see anywhere in the country. So thanks for asking about that, Dave. I wanted to get that plug in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've really enjoyed that event last year, David. I can vouch for you that if anybody has not been to that event, come on down to Lafayette because it is a fun experience for the entire family, and you know, it's very interesting to see all the highly rated talent out there on one field. Like you mentioned, Shea Patterson, seeing him out there. Willie Gay last year out of Starkville, Mississippi, four-star 2017 linebacker. He really stood out in his performances last year. A couple offensive linemen, 2017 Ole Miss commit Ben Brown out of Vicksburg, Creed Humphreys out of Oklahoma, 2017
right.
offensive lineman. He had a outstanding performance last year. So, you know, those guys, if they come back this year, it will be very interesting to see them again competing out there.
And it gives us a chance to see guys in that kind of environment, sometimes for the first time, you know, as you go back to last year. And, you know, everybody obviously knew who Willie Gay was, but we got to see Willie. And my opinion of Willie just elevated tremendously. When I was able to actually put my eyes on him and look at him and look at how long he was, how mm-hmm. big and physical he was, and the fact that he's so big and physical, but he could still run with the running backs, run with the tight ends and coverage, that really just kind of sold me on Willie Gay. And I think if Cam Akers is the best prospect in the state of Mississippi for 2017, I'm not sure Willie Gay isn't the second best. You know, and then you have guys like you mentioned, Ben Brown. Ben comes in as an unknown last summer, has no offers, leaves there as a member of the all-combine team because we could definitely tell Ben Brown was a talented offensive lineman. Now, Ben, of course, committed to Ole Miss, but Vanderbilt is offered, Missouri's offered. He would have gotten a lot more offers, but, you know, the cat's out of the bag. Ben Brown's a triple legacy to Ole Miss, and, you know, he's not going to school anywhere else. Creed Humphrey had zero offers at the time. I think he's up to 10 now. Including a couple of SEC offers. It's another outstanding lineman. Draylen Porter ended up going the JUCO route, but an outstanding defensive end that was there last year as well. So we're excited about it. We had 204 prospects there last year from 17 different states, all the way up the East Coast, as far north as Connecticut, all the way down to North Carolina, and all the way out west as far as Nevada. 17 different states represented at the Southern Elite. And it'll be the same way this year, judging from the early responses. We've sent out probably 80 invitations in the course of the last 3 days. And, you know, we've still got other invitations that we'll send as we continue to evaluate film and all of that. So that is the Southern Elite Combine on Wednesday, June 29th, the Lafayette-Oxford Sportsplex, open to the public. If you want to come out and get a firsthand view of some of these future stars of the SEC, we'd certainly encourage you to do so. All right, the Rebels hit the football practice field again this afternoon. They'll practice today and Thursday before packing it in for the Easter holidays. And we talked about what we saw Monday, talked about Eric Sweeney. They've got 8 practices remaining this spring. And, you know, I think the goal is just to kind of come together. You know, I don't think it's a situation where they want the offense moving any faster, because I'm telling you, the offense is moving fast now. I think the focus the rest of the way is going to be on execution, and just gelling. And, of course, there are some position battles raging. Even though they're not necessarily publicized, position battles are always raging. Everybody's always fighting to move up the pecking order, so to speak. But from what we've seen, you know, the best thing I can tell you, you know, you've seen some young guys who are going to help. You can already tell that. We've talked about Miles Hartsfield. We talked about Eric Swinney yesterday. Both of those guys are going to help this football team. And then the other thing is, I think you're starting to see, even if, you know, the absence of Rod Taylor and Robert Conyers and, of course, Greg Little still being in high school is hindering the offensive line this spring, the one thing that you see that I think you can hang your hat on is Matt Luke is building quality depth that he'll be able to count on for some significant snaps this fall. So sometimes the curse ends up being a blessing. You're getting Jeremy Liggins all the reps with the ones at tackle and getting him ready to go. You're getting a guy like Alex Givens reps with the ones and getting him ready to go. Michael Howard getting plenty of reps. All the guys are getting plenty of reps. And, you know, so that's something that that is going to be a positive at the end of the day, even though you don't have Rod Taylor out there and you don't have Robert Conyers and Greg Little yet to get here, and along with five other true freshman offensive linemen. Eli Johnson, the only true freshman offensive lineman that's in the mix this spring. And you got five more coming to try to help out, including Greg Little, in June. So, you know, I think the offensive line is probably a group that you can be excited about right now. Yeah, there's concerns, and there should be, when you've got to replace Fan Cooper and Laramie Tunsil. Both of those guys are going to go in the NFL draft. Tunsil probably the number one overall pick. But if you take a long view of what Matt Lucas brought in,
we lose you?
I think we lost David. His call has dropped, so maybe he will call back in just a second. But, yeah, what David was talking about with the offensive line, Michael, you know, he was talking about the depth with Matt Luke, you know, getting these guys like Jeremy Liggins and Alex Givens reps with the ones and building that experience with those. In your opinion, talk about, you know, Matt Luke of how he has developed this offensive line and, you know, how exciting Ole Miss fans can be for heading into the fall.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's just Matt Luke, because you see what Paul Jackson has done with some of the guys, whether it's slimming down Jordan Sims, who dropped a considerable amount of weight. And you saw what he was able to do in his first year, making it onto the field last season. And then you see Michael Howard, who came in really undersized. He, of course, has the height, he has the length, he has the build to put weight on, and he has put a ton of weight on in his first year in the program. And you've seen Alex Givens. He wasn't as lean as Michael Howard, but he's put on a considerable amount of weight as well. And both of them went from looking like, you know, high school prospects when they got to Oxford, too. They look like SEC offensive tackles now, and both of them have that really mean streak in them, which is something you can't teach a kid. You can't teach a kid to just bury someone into the ground, just to absolutely finish their blocks in such a mean way. And both of those guys have that. And the depth at offensive line is getting, you know, deeper and deeper. When a couple years ago you looked at it and any guy that you look at on the offensive line say, oh, if he goes down, there goes the offensive line. It was that way under Houston Nutt. It was that way under Ed Orgeron. It was that way in the first few years of the Freeze era. And so it's really a welcome change to see that, you know, someone can go down, God forbid, and you really don't miss too much of a beat there. But there is a lot of talent. There's growing experience there.
And there's certainly some depth at the offensive line, and it's really been impressive to watch.
Right, and you know, there is that, you know, hope, you know, with Greg Little coming in. I think there is going to be that high expectations with Greg Little, just as much so as when Laramie Tunsil, you know, came into the program. You know, the biggest concern I would say out there is, you know, replacing, you know, Laramie Tunsil and Van Cooper, because of their experience over the past couple of years, that they have developed, you know, that experience with Sean Rawlings, Robert Conyers, you know, those guys, and it's just a question mark right now, and you want to see, you know, how those guys are going to, you know, practice is one thing. How are they going to, you know, show up on the field? And I think that's the biggest question. But, you know, that Matt Luke has definitely done a marvelous job, and Hugh Freeze, his staff, of building that adequate depth on the offensive line. And like you said, you know, in Hugh Freeze's, you know, upcoming years, he really just had to mold it, it took some time, but he definitely molded that offensive line into a, you know, it was a very successful group last year. So David, I was just talking to David just now, and he's having problems calling back into the show. I don't know why. Before we get off, Michael, you know, we were talking about Ole Miss's, you know, in South Carolina, the upcoming game tomorrow at Swayze. It's a very highly anticipated game between these two ranked teams. South Carolina coming in on a red hot streak, so is Ole Miss. Kind of give us a rundown, give us a scouting report on South Carolina, Ole Miss. What can Ole Miss fans expect tomorrow?
I would like to briefly touch on something that David said earlier. He said that you know, this is the best start in Ole Miss history. It's tied for the best start in Ole Miss history, tying 2013 when the team ended up starting 21-2. If you remember, that's the team with Bobby Wall and Mike Myers and Stuart Turner and the last year of Tanner Mathis, and it was that team before they, you know, ultimately were undone and wound up finishing 17-22 down the stretch. But if Ole Miss can get a win tomorrow, they'll tie the best start through 23 games, and if they can get a win on Friday as well, then they would be they'd be alone at the top of the best start as that 2013.
Can I ask you one thing in there, Michael?
What's that?
You know, we're talking about their streaks. You know, it was talking about like the 17-1 streak. You know, when they were on that 17-1 streak, I think it was read where it was only the third time in school history. So all of these streaks that they're building up is all under Mike Bianco, correct?
Yes. Yeah,
we had talked
really
about it, you know, in previous podcast. Yeah, he has. But yeah, definitely continue.
The South Carolina staff, I'd bring something else to you're not going to be able to throw your beers in the air. You're going to be ingesting a lot of your beers this weekend, it appears, because out of the top 18 pitchers in the SEC, as far as starting pitching goes, guys that have qualified with enough starts, three of them in the top 18 in ERA hail from the South Carolina Gamecocks. They're led by Clark Schmidt, who's 5-0 with a 1.27 ERA. Has just been blowing guys away. Has 43 strikeouts and 35 in a third inning. And he's fourth in the league in ERA. Then you have Braden Webb, who's 8th with a 1.71 ERA. He's 4-1. And he's more of a pitch-to-contact type of guy, but he's struggled with a little bit of his command. He's walked 17 so far in 26 and a third. But then you also have Adam Hill for South Carolina, who has a 2.42 ERA and a 4-0 record. And he's also striking out batters at almost two strikeouts per inning pace. And so they have a lot of pitching. They lead the SEC in ERA with a 2.25 earned run average. But then again, Ole Miss not far behind at 2.42 ERA. And so they're both really teams that pitch really well. And we could very well see some low-scoring games. But then again, South Carolina does bring forth some offense. They're third in the league with a 3.25 batting average and have a 4.58 slugging percentage, which is good for sixth in the conference. So they're certainly a team who's very well-rounded, and all this attention is paid toward, you know, number one Florida, who's 21-1, and number two Texas A&M, 18-2. Of course, Vanderbilt and LSU and teams of this sort, but South Carolina is really they're not getting the respect that you'd expect from a team that's been a power in the last decade or so in baseball and has won national championships and has consistently been a team in the mix. And so this will be certainly a series between two teams who feel like they're disrespected, who want to earn some marquee wins, who want to further their case that they're one of the best, if not the best in the SEC. And you'll have two teams that pitch extremely well. And it's certainly going to be a lively atmosphere in Oxford this weekend. We're going to have weather in the 60s and then the 70s. It's going to be sunny. We're going to have some rain tomorrow morning, but that'll clear up by game time. And so, frankly, I'm excited. I know I'm supposed to be supposed to remain even keel about, you know, how about events like this, but I'm really excited to watch the Gamecocks play, and it's always good to see a national power like them come to town. It's always fun. And there's going to be a lot of good baseball this weekend.
Yeah, I would agree with you that it's going to be a very lively atmosphere in Oxford this weekend, and it's really good to see that the weather will hold out with this really highly anticipated matchup. And like you said, I believe both teams entered this matchup with the chip on their shoulder, you know, with not getting the respect that they believe they deserved. And I mean, you look at Ole Miss, you know, preseasonally in some polls, you know, they were not even in the top 25, and now after, you know, having a just a two-loss start to start the season, now they're getting that recognition of, okay, well, this is possibly a national seed team in with some of these, national polls taking that into consideration. So I'm very looking forward to this series. And once again, and everyone listening in, if you are following it all on Twitter, please check out Michael on Twitter, because he will be reporting the updates, right there from Swayze, live updates of the action right there on Twitter. You can follow him on Twitter at QuarkRebels247. Okay, Michael, you got any closing thoughts for today into this podcast?
I actually have a strange day today. I woke up at the crack of dawn today to take my treeing walker coonhound Deacon. I finally bit the bullet and decided to get him fixed. He'll be three in July. I've been wanting to breed him, but I finally decided, you know, it's time to get him in, to finally turn him into a eunuch. And so I'm interested to see how my cone dog will feel when he sees me, if he's going to be angry, if he's going to be a little sad, perturbed. I'm sure he's going to be on more drugs than a Pearl Jam concert, so that should be pretty interesting to see in him. But yeah, and it was sort of cruel to me, or cruel to him. I did it on National Puppy Day. I didn't realize it was on National Puppy Day. That's kind of sick and twisted. So I guess now it's National Not Having Any Puppies Day.
Oh wow. I definitely don't have a puppy. You know, we have one dog. We have a 13-year-old Dachshund, so a little wiener dog that we have, and she's definitely up there in age. And so, as far as other animals, we have had this turtle in our fish tank. It has lived for past couple of years, and we won it at a carnival. And I know Turtles have a, from my understanding, have a long, long life age. But sometimes you just forget about a turtle. You know?
A turtle might outlive you, Dave.
Yeah, I know. But sometimes, you know, we feed it. We don't abuse the turtle. But sometimes you do. Yeah, there is a little bit of neglect because a turtle, you know, it's not barking. It's not saying, I'm hungry or anything. It's just sitting there in the tank, and you just walk past it. So, you know, I know our kids are definitely happy that this turtle has lived for so long. So, but yeah, that I would say that would intertwine with my closing thoughts there with yours. So, I think that's going to do it for this edition of Rebel Rise Live. David, you know, his call dropped out of the show. He wasn't able to close the show out with us, but definitely a lot of key information that he covered earlier on in the show. Well, that's going to do it for us in this edition of Rebel Rise Live. For Dave Bevan and Michael Quirk, you are listening to Rebel Rise Live, Hotty Toddy.